Okay, over to you, Martin, as they say.
Yeah, so I didn't share out loud last week, but what I was noticing during the call was that when I have a low energy, then I tend to curse a lot. And I don't think there's anything wrong with cursing, but I just don't curse nearly as much when I'm in a higher energy level. So I noticed, like, driving to work, if I'm in traffic, or that was definitely one that that was getting the energy way down low and rushing. That was another one. So when I catch myself in those kind of spaces, it's a lot easier to catch myself now that I've kind of thought about it and understand where that's coming from. So it was a nice little takeaway. And then listening to Sue's music that she shared, the Play for Change, I've been loving that. So I've been listening to a lot of those. So thanks for sharing that, Sue.
Great. Me too. Good music posts this past week. So you had an interesting comment that you posted in the forum about something different, playing all those love frequencies.
Yeah, and in fact, Martin's been listening to Playing for Change, and I've been listening to 528 Law. I still last night put one on really quietly and just had it playing as I went to sleep, and it was still playing when I woke up at 4 in the morning to go pee, and then I turned it off. But I did a little bit of very little bit of reading about frequencies. I really don't know yet, but it seems that there's I even saw some article that said 528 is the new 420. So 420 something used to be called the love frequency, but now it's five. It's like some kind of there's a schools of frequency fans. But I didn't go down that rabbit hole. I've just been, I find that I guess I just resonated with that those tones. And these are just like 3 to 8 hour tones that are just playing. And the one thing I'm noticing is that while I still am a big fan of streaming audio and video, I'm not doing it all the time. I'm doing less of it. I'm finding that it's just perfectly okay for me not to have something coming in all the time, and that's really nice. And I'm finding also a little bit of a settling down in my come from. I'm feeling less prone, except for a really, really shitty, bad, horrible physical symptom overload day the other day. I've been having a, I feel like my, I'm a little bit out of the basement. I can see I'm a little bit above the parking levels, on a more consistent basis, and that feels really good. And that if that image makes no sense because I really shorthanded it just there. There's a one of my teachers, Michael Neal, which is where I met Nina in a Michael Neal class, has I think he's the source of this image that my mood is you can kind of evaluate your mood like you're in a glass-walled elevator, but when you're in the park, when you're in the parking lower parking level, you can't really see very far. And as the elevator comes up, the view changes. And I can't really tell you I'm seeing wide vistas all the time, but there's more sunshine coming in.
Nice.
Nice. I like
Yeah,
that.
I do too.
I'll mute now.
Okay. Connie, I think you're muted.
Can I just say something?
Please.
I just appreciate all of the different links that people have sent, the songs, the music, the meditation. I think it just is so nice to have a variety and to see that there are so many different spokes to the wheel of love. And thank you to everybody. I don't always comment, but I really appreciate that. That's all I want to say. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Connie, is that you that's having trouble here? Can you unmute yourself?
Am I unmuted now?
You are indeed.
Oh, that's, I apologize for being late.
No worries.
Actually, I got up late, but I wrote a long email about what the week has meant. So to keep it brief, it's just the abundance of love I have received by sharing what we do is beyond anything I could have ever imagined. Mm-hmm. And very briefly, for those I know, a person here has loves German Shepherds. I love all animals. I think we all do. I believe the best possible home for a three-year-old German Shepherd, and Love in Action led me to this person and to her father, who just lost his shepherd of 12 years, 6 days ago, and it's left a hole in his heart. And she will be with horses and acres and his constant companion. So that's the latest. And hi, Kathleen, welcome. That's all I'll say about crosstalk. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other thoughts, comments, ahas, surprises?
So this is Joanna. I'm low energy today. I bit off more than I could chew and tried to schedule 3 global working calls with colleagues starting at 7 o'clock this morning. And that just didn't work well, at least past a certain point. So I'm low energy and I like the analogy of an elevator. I do think that our view changes as we elevate our energy and our mood. And Martin, I had the same realization as you, I think, the other day, that when I'm tired and stressed, my buffer seems to vanish or be minimized. And sometimes it's me realizing that I'm tired and stressed, and sometimes it's the realization of either the 4-letter words coming out of my mouth or the way I'm being short with my animals, or whether I'm being less tolerant of people in my mind, less gracious in my mind. And I think consciousness is the first step, honestly, to most things. So I'm glad I have that. This week, my pup, my 14-year-old girl, Willow, who you've seen on previous calls, had to be x-rayed just to make sure that we were trying to catch cancer early on because her blood work had been wonky. And it reminded me of how grateful I am of the loving energy I get from people around me when I'm in a stressed out place and they do something for me with that added love that I cannot take for granted. Whether it's loving my dog for the few hours that they have ownership of her and giving her back to me with such love, The time that they take to explain things. It's when you feel out of control and you're trusting your heart, whether it's in the form of a 4-legged animal or something else that concerns you, to other people, and you get back that graciousness, that you're not just a number, but that you're a human being. It's that empathy. And I appreciate that. That's all I can say about my realizations this week.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, that's a lot. That's a lot. Thank you. I think that one of the things that I'm discovering both for myself and as we go through this program together is how love has got a myriad of forms and how it appears just by making the effort to notice. So exploring those energetics is really fun. And it's really you could study those things about vibrations and energetics for the rest of your life. It just has there's so many aspects to it. But I'm glad that those of you who spoke had good experiences, and we'll just keep going and see where it goes. But today We're going to talk about quantum physics. So as I said earlier, somebody knows more than I do. Please keep me from embarrassing myself totally. I've got to read my notes because I love this stuff, but my brain has a challenge understanding it. So I'm trying to make it really simple. So I guess what I should ask, and I'm going to switch to gallery view for a second, is there anybody here who knows anything about quantum physics? If you do, just raise your hand. Okay, Anne, good. You might have to, and Kathleen, good. Some backup here. Okay. So what I really wanted to do was talk about quantum physics as really something that is so beautiful about the design of the universe. And to me now, love is beauty in whatever forms it takes. So I suppose I'm coming at this from a sideways angle, but it doesn't really matter because what I think is really important is when we get to see something new and we get to change our worldview, then everything actually really does change. And I wanted to start out by talking about Newtonian physics, which if anybody here has done any sort of energy work, either as a practitioner or receiving it, there's always a discussion at some point about how we have looked at the world since the 1600s as a very mechanistic framework. And it's 2000s now. So that view is really being eclipsed by what's been discovered in quantum physics rather slowly, but nevertheless, it's still starting to happen. And there are more and more scientists who are seeing what's possible. And the reason I wanted to talk about it is because when we realize that with quantum physics, things are not fixed, things are not predictable, it gives us a lot more freedom to play with being in the unknown and being creative. So with Newtonian physics, which even sounds technical when I say it, it's really the study of matter and how it's affected by motion and gravity. So if you thought about, there's a common metaphor of billiard balls, that the world is like a game of pool. Everything is predictable, everything is measurable. Objects are solid. Their movements can be predicted, which means if you know the future, you can see what the past was, and you could always also predict what's going to happen. The other thing about Newtonian physics being so solid is that everything has its own separate reality. And we as human beings are like, we're separate from it. Like the machine is what it is and it's going to do what it's going to do. Our thoughts and feelings don't have any impact on it at all. And if you're here, you probably know that there's a lot of different ways of thinking about that. But for us, living in a Newtonian world, it makes us pretty isolated. We're just cogs in the wheel. We have no say over what happens to us. And it makes us very separate and isolated from one another. Whereas, pardon me, with quantum physics, there's a sense of interconnectedness and everyone being one and consciousness being the framework in which we all exist. So the consequences of living in a Newtonian world are that instead of collaborating, we compete because we're all unrelated and disconnected from one another. We end up, instead of cooperating with each other, we end up having conflict. And we have a sense of winning, like we've got to win over the other person. So it's never a shared reality. It's always mine against yours. So it's rather adversarial. And it's just it's not a really good way to live. And especially now in a world that is upside down, we need something different. There's also a quality to a Newtonian physics that's it's called determinism, which just basically means that things are predictable and there's no getting away from it. And the problem with that is that we start to feel like we need certainty in our own lives and that we want to be able to predict the future because it feels like a safe thing. And based on the Newtonian model, we think that we should be able to do it. But as you all know, in everyday reality, that is not really very possible. Infrequently, it's easier to predict objects in motion, but when you get down to the level of thinking and feeling and consciousness, it's a whole different reality. So I'm going to stop there for a second and ask any feedback or questions that you have, because I want to go a little slow. We may need to do this in two sessions. We'll just see how far we get. But I'm curious if other people are familiar with that Newtonian perspective on life and can sense the limitations that it has. So you're all muted. So if you would just unmute, go for it.
Hi, I mean, I have a fairly strong background in quantum physics. As I was talking to Nina, I did my dissertation a great deal based on quantum physics. Even though I'm an English professor, when I did my dissertation, I was very much into quantum physics and the relationship of quantum physics to the community. And one of the things that I went back and reviewed some of the material because it's been a long time. But one of the things that really struck me was the concept in quantum physics. You think of the particle and the wave are metaphors that they use in quantum physics a lot. And if I'm the particle, I'm also part of the wave, and the wave is being built by the particles. It's not a fixed entity. It's made up of all those particles, and those particles are not separate from the wave. So it's kind of hard to wrap your mind around it, but that metaphor kind of clicked it for me when I was trying to understand quantum physics. That did it. And I thought about, as part of my research, I ran a freshman composition classroom based on quantum physics, and we created a community in that way. So if I think of this group as unfixed and as something that the members, the particles, are creating, but at the same time, there's a wave bigger than us that's encapsulating us, and that I always experience when I come on these calls, there's something that happens to me, the particle, as I experience the wave. So I don't know if that makes any sense at all, but for me, that metaphor really did it for me. So thanks. That's it.
I'm glad you said that, because that'll be our segue into the second part of what we want to talk about today.
Can I just say you're amazing, Anne? Thank you for sharing that. We are all probably subjectively and unconsciously forming judgments or impressions of people. I would have never known that quantum physics in English, because I remember you saying something earlier about being a C-level or a corporate something. And I was like, quantum physics, holy cow. And I completely get the particle and wave. Thank you so much.
Yeah. You know what I love about these calls? When people share something, I just am totally amazed at this other dimension of people that emerges. And it just is the coolest thing. I just love it.
I think you're all cool. But today, Anne, I have a newfound respect for particles and waves because of you.
That's great. So there's three things that I want to follow up based on what Anne was saying. And I'm going to read them because my mind starts to get a little wobbly when I talk about quantum physics. The problem with Newtonian physics and seeing things as fixed, as if life is a pool game, is that we live from a fixed sense of reality. That's the first thing. And when we rely on predictability and wanting to know what's going to happen, we lose our ability to be curious, and we lose our ability to wonder and to play in the unknown. And Martin, I'd love it if you would jump in for a second, because you've been cottywampling in the unknown recently.
Yeah. Well, first I just wanted to second what Joanna said. And I don't know if she was lying when she said she was low energy, but I haven't gotten that sense from every time that she shared so far today. So I want to give her some credits for saying she's low energy and not really showing that. But yeah, I've been doing that, the Cottywampel group with Christy. Now this is my second time in a row doing it. And it honestly has a pretty similar feel to this group, where it's like a bunch of us coming together and just kind of going on the unknown and kind of sharing. And it's just such a different way to live and to experience it. And what I was hearing when you were sharing the collaborating versus competing, I used to do a lot of improv, and one of the games that we played was you had to pick someone without anyone knowing that was going to be your like enemy. And you had to be in between someone that was going to protect you from your enemy. So you would move around and you couldn't stop until you were like protected from someone. But, you know, there were so many cases where, like, Nina, you would be my enemy and I would be your enemy without us knowing. And it was like impossible to do it. And it took so long for everyone to stop moving. Like it took like a really long time for everyone to finally get to a good place. And then the second version was, now you need to come up with two allies and you need to form like a triangle. And that one would be over in 10 seconds. It was like, it was so fast. And it was like that idea of, you know, how quickly it takes to collaborate versus how long it takes to compete. And so I just wanted to share that because it was a really interesting like dynamic that I heard from you talking about those two things. And I think if life was a game of pool, there would just be so much less room for just creativity and, you know, joy in life and everything else. So I love that it's not a game of pool, even though I do love pool.
Oh, that's great. Thank you. Well, this is the thing about changing our mind view, I think, at least it's how it strikes me, is if we don't keep seeking out the predictable, and we don't keep assuming that things are going to be the way they were. I mean, here we've got the pandemic and it's turned everything upside down. But if we are trying to protect ourselves because we think we need to know what's going to happen in the future, we don't tap into that innate resource we have of responding in the moment and allowing things to happen, because we're depending on past events to determine our future. And it just doesn't work that way. So the more we can see what's going on beneath the surface, which is what quantum physics looks at, the more we can see that we are not locked into our possibilities. So to my mind, when we know that we play a role in our future, that is incredibly empowering to me. It's like, oh my God, you mean I don't have to have a knee-jerk reaction to some guy just because my brother said something to me when I was 12? Or, you know, we don't have to keep going there, because we live in a world of all possibilities. And maybe it doesn't seem like that in our everyday reality, but if we just take a minute to look at what's been discovered about how the world works, we can find out that there's so many more options for us than just what we think we need to do and keep safe in our little boxes. Because we have the capacity to deal with life however it shows up for us. That's how we're designed. And that's why I think quantum physics is so cool, because it can point us in that direction to like, oh, look over there, look over there. This is what we've got going for us. Now, if we shift over to quantum physics, then we're not so much talking about matter, solid matter in motion, but we're talking about the study of energy and the properties of matter as energy. So we're really talking in a very deep level, but we're talking on a level that's very relevant for us as human beings in terms of our thoughts and our feelings and our consciousness. So as Anne was saying, and bear with me because I'm going to read from my notes here. Objects, whatever they are not particles or waves. They're both. And there's a term called superpositioning, which means that a particle can do two different things at the same time. It has a potential, and Anne, you might be able to express this more clearly than I am, but it has the possibilities to be anything, because matter on that level is just clouds of possibility. It's not like the old, if you were taught this way about science when you were in school, that everything is, atoms have these electrons and protons and neutrons circling around it, but now they're not talking about them as hard little bits of matter. We're talking about them as clouds of possibility. And it's only when we fix on one possibility that particle does something called collapsing. It collapses the wave of all possibilities and it fixates us on one possibility. So to me, knowing about things being waves of possibility means that we have an active role in which possibility we fixate on or we allow to come into reality. So if everything is made out of energy, everything is vibration, the way we were talking about last week, everything actually exists within an energy field. At the very core of that, or the ground of it, you've probably heard something called the zero-point field. And the zero-point field is kind of the ground of all life, because if from this perspective, life is a series of vibrations. So everything is in communication with everything else. Our cells are in communication with each other in our bodies. Energy is passing forth, back and forth between us, objects, immovable objects. Everything is an exchange of energy and information. And this zero point field is where it's kind of the origin. Everything is like bubbling up and making itself available. And how we interact with that is actually more of a choice than we think. So are you all still with me, or is anyone eyes rolling in the back of their head yet? Okay, I will keep going then. What's really interesting is that in the last 20 years, science and, well, quantum physics is probably a better description. Quantum physics and spiritual traditions are being compared, so that many of the descriptions that are found in quantum physics about the nature of reality are found in the wisdom tradition. So there's references couched in a different language in the Kabbalah, the Tao, Hindu scriptures, even in Platonic theory. So there's a lot of different sources for this information. Is just couched in different language. And I read something interesting that I really loved, which was that the study of quantum physics is the study of it's the place where miracles begin. And it's the science of the miraculous. And I love that phrase because Einstein said there were two ways that we could look at the world, either that nothing is a miracle or everything is a miracle. So the more we start playing around with quantum physics, the more we start seeing why things are miraculous and why they are constructed, if you will, in such a way, which means we have more possibilities. We're not fixed. We don't live in a fixed reality. So the things that are troubling us, there is a way to get out of them or around them or through them.
Nina?
Yeah.
I have a question. I've always heard it as the observer effect, kind of that wave and particle. It depends on who is actually observing. And that one person may see the particle and one person sees it as waves. So I guess what I'm trying to say is it how we view then the world and all of the possibilities as the observer? I'm not sure if I'm making myself clear, but.
Yeah, you are. This is something I wanted to touch on. So I'm glad you brought it up. There is something called the observer effect or the observer bias. And essentially what it says, and again, help me if I'm not saying it right, is that what we expect to see is what we see. That's kind of the short version of it. So in those experiments that are talked about where a particle goes through a series of slits and it can either be seen as a wave or a particle. It depends on the expectations of the observers. So to me, that says that the way I see the world is very similar. If I have an expectation of what it should look like, that's what I'm gonna see. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I want to know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Depends on the expectation. I think we can use it to our advantage, but go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I think we could, but I think we could also limit ourselves. Or maybe we could not see what's really there.
Right.
Or is there a really there? Not to get too esoteric, but...
So the way I was writing it down for myself is that when a particle isn't being observed, it exists as a waveform, a cloud of possibilities, all possibilities occurring simultaneously. And when we look, we collapse that cloud or that waveform into a fixed thing.
So can I speak? This is Anne. What you were talking about earlier, confirmation bias, where if we look at something with an expectation of how it will be, we find what we want to see. You know, we look at our children and we see them the way we want to see them, not necessarily in a bigger view. So confirmation bias can really, it's a good thing to be aware of, because if I know that I have confirmation bias on a particular subject, which I certainly do, then I can kind of surrender to the wave a little more. In terms of the particle and the wave, it's not necessarily a choice, I don't think, if you really think about it. The wave, we're a part of the wave, whether we want to be or not. You know, our will has nothing to do with that. We make up the wave. All of the collective particles make up that wave, and the wave moves the way it will move. The particles don't make the wave move in a certain way. So I think that looking at the whole universe and everything in existence from that point of view really does shock me into a change. It shocks me into a change. And then if you think that all of this exists in the ocean, and that we make up the ocean, and at the same time, the ocean totally rules us, it really does affect our sort of American notion of free will. You know, that we can't, we can think we're choosing sometimes, but the wave is going to, in the end, the wave connection, the part of us that it is in the wave, is going to sort of dominate the situation, whether we agree with it or not. So we do the best as particles, but sometimes I think the best thing we can do is give into the flow of the wave, is like, let it be, go with it, just go with that flow. And then you're not either or, you're not separate from that movement, that beautiful, amazing movement, you're in it. And because we're physical beings sort of in a spiritual world, we're not there yet. You know, we're always trying to maybe go with the flow. I'm trying to go with the flow, but it's not always we don't always do it well. Sometimes I determine to be rooted in my particle state, you know, so for what it's worth.
So what I'm wondering from what you just shared, Anne, isn't our ability to go with the flow part of that process of allowing a certain possibility to exist and unfold, and that we have the ability to shift gears at any moment?
I missed that last part, sorry.
Okay. The question that was coming up as you were speaking was, yes, we're in the soup and we have circumstances that happen to us, but our ability to respond is not fixed. It's fluid. And the more we can understand that fluidity, the more we can go with the flow.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I mean, I think we're going to go with the flow, whether you like it or not, because we're in the wave and the wave's going to take us. But I certainly think if we can consciously join that flow rather than resist it with our little kicking particle feet, you know, it's probably better for the universe and for me. And the great thing about quantum physics is it's not fixed. You know, there's no fixed outcomes. There's no anything like that. It's just movement and things happening, and we're a part of it, and we create it at the same time. We're a part of it. We create it. It creates us. It's so intertwined and wonderful that it's very hard to even express, you know?
Yeah. That's why I have note today.
Can I jump in and add something, Nina?
Please.
From Joanna's question, I heard, it brought back this image of Wayne Dyer, and he was sharing this story about these two women that he met in Florida, and they were both planning on moving to Florida. And so the first one came up to him and said, you know, like, I'm looking to move here, you know, like, how are the people? And he said, you know, how are they where you're from? And she was like, you know, they're negative. They don't really help out. They don't really work together. They don't do this. They don't do that. And he's like, yeah, I think you'll find more of the same here. And then the second woman came up to him and asked the same question. And he said, you know, he responded with the same question, you know, well, how are they where you're from? And she said, oh, you know, the people are so generous and they're so kind and they all work together. And it was such a nice neighborhood. And he said, I think you'll find the same here. And so I think that was kind of like, I heard and Joy, like, is it good or bad? And I think it's kind of based on your expectation, like you were saying. And so that's what I was, that little story, it reminded me of it.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad you shared that.
Can I just say, this is bizarre, but this is probably the particle wave stuff going on, because I am observing this today as I am burdened by the question of, do I move to the top of the mountain or not? Do I sell from where I've been for 25 years and I know my neighbors are kind and care about me, to a place that is extreme in many ways, physically, very different from living in Cary, North Carolina, to live out in the wilderness and be self-reliant. I mean, my future could be that I get eaten by a bear. I'm wondering if I could dissolve into a cloud of possibilities so that it didn't hurt so much. Or maybe I thought it was, I become part of the bear. I don't know, but I do know one thing. I am tired of being stuck. I'm tired of being stuck. And I love a Goethe quote, whatever you dare to dream or imagine. Do you know that one, guys?
Somebody has it on their tagline, I think, in their email.
Yeah, but the universe, I always paraphrase it, the universe conspires, right, to make it so.
Yeah.
And so Anne, my little sister, sent something to us sisters last week about an experience she had, and someone quoted Pierre
Desjardins,
yes, and I like him, and he said something about allowing the outcome. So I could sit here with no momentum and allow my life to unfold however it's going to, or I could take this leap of faith and still allow my life to unfold and not worry about what's going to happen. Just I'll be open to the possibilities instead of trying to dictate it. It's,
yeah.
And Martin, you mentioned, well, what has the past been like? Well, what is the future going to be? And, you know, if I want things to change, I know there's truth to sometimes we can get a fresh start, right, by being in a new physical location. But I also know enough that fresh starts are within ourselves, right? And the way we look at things, approach things, open up to things. So it's just bizarre. I don't have the answer, except I think you guys might be telling me to move. I'm not sure.
Disclaimer, I'm not telling you to do anything. But what I do want to emphasize, and I'm glad you brought that up, Joy, is that it's really valuable to notice that when we look at our experiences, we draw a certain conclusion. And that's the psychological equivalent of collapsing the wave.
Yeah.
And the more we believe our beliefs, it keeps the wave collapsed on that particular outcome or experience. So even if nothing else, if we gave ourselves permission to really explore what else is possible without overthinking it, because I think overthinking it is, I mean, I'm preaching to the choir here, but whenever we overthink something, we don't have clarity. It's a grind. But if we just allow it to percolate, something in us, since we're talking the language of energy, something in us will resonate. And you'll know because of the feeling that you get. And you might not get it right away. You might have to, you know, noodle around with it for a while.
And going back to the low energy, when I'm tired, then I know that my thoughts are about fears.
Yeah.
And when I'm not tired, then my thoughts are about possibilities, you know?
Right.
So
that's a really good point. So one of the things, I don't know if everyone is looking in the chat box, but Sue, I think, wrote down the quote that Joy was referring to: whatever you think you can do or believe you can do, begin it. Action has magic, grace, and power in it. Action has magic. How cool is that? Any other thoughts so far? I'm going to take a little bit of a breather here and just see, get the temperature of the group, and anyone feeling completely lost or intrigued or anything in between.
Hi.
Hey, Jen.
Hi, guys. Sorry I was late. I'm not on camera at first, by the way, because I'm eating and I don't want to do that to you, watching me eat. Anyway, I these conversations, I think, for me have been interesting to listen to, because I'm tracking. I think what's interesting is just, I think it can become very cyclical in my mind, hearing all those things, right? What you expect to see is what's going to, you know, what you see in the wave becomes flattened, et cetera. What came up for me is that can be very externally oriented. And to me, it's also about internal. Like, I think a lot of it is for me, and without getting into personal experiences too long, but just to say, I've always been the type to have kind of be aware of the darkness of possibility, but also be optimistic in the face of it, right? But what does that say? That can create a lot of possibility, but it might be limited. And how is it limited? Well, it's limited in what my perception is. That's kind of, I think, turned more inward than outward, if that makes sense. So what I'm hearing and what I find interesting is just, what does that wave look like independent of every other external circumstance? And how am I flattening myself?
So say more about that, because I know it gets a little loopy, but nothing is disconnected from anything else. Mm-hmm. So what then?
I guess I don't know what you mean. What then if I don't flatten myself?
Well, I think you said something about if something is separate from everything else.
I guess what I was thinking about is, what I meant by that, I think, was when I was contemplating what Joanna was sharing, what Martin was sharing, what you were saying, I kept thinking about and reflecting on how I interact with the world outside of me. And of course, this idea of we're all part of the same energy and all that, I get, right? But then there's the mind space of the other, the person other than me. So when I set all of that aside, what is left is just me. And that's where it really is the core, right? For me, at least, in my mind. So I just keep thinking, about how am I limiting my own energy just within myself.
It's a great
and that question. That flattens the lens, the glass that through which I look at the whole world. So I can look at, you know, the person who cuts me off in traffic, or the bigger frustration, or the bigger challenge or stress, and look at that externally and kind of think about it for all its possibilities. But I guess that's always so situational that I like the idea of starting with myself first and thinking about, well, how am I flattening myself? I hope that made sense.
It made sense to me. Okay. I think I'm prompted by a similar question when I look at quantum physics. Like, if the world is full of possibilities, if the possibilities are always available to us, where am I holding myself back from trying things that I normally don't do? Yeah. And most of that, if I look at it, comes back to a conditioning, in my experience, not limited to, but in part, a conditioning of that Newtonian view of the world. It's fixed, it's limited, I have fewer possibilities than I want. So if I calculate my future based on my past, I'm going to be safe. And that's a way for me, I flatten out my experience of reality. Because I'm looking for safety, I'm looking for predictability, which means I don't get to exercise that capacity of curiosity or just being wild and trying stuff.
So, yeah, me too. I mean, I do try things, but not, yeah.
Well, right, so we all have our edge. We all have our edge. We're beyond this. It doesn't feel safe, or we're a little, I'm not sure what's going to happen.
Or in my case, oh, this is really going pretty good. Can't possibly get better.
That's a flattener right there.
Something's going to fall apart. Something's going to happen. Can't possibly get better than it does. But I'm like, no, I think it could. I think it could. Anyway, yeah. I'm with you.
Nice. Thank you. Thanks for sharing.
I was listening to that. It's kind of where psychology crosses quantum physics in a way. Our internal self. One of the things that just to like to bring recovery into this 12-step idea, with the first step, which is surrender, which is I'm powerless. And what actually happens is, in my experience, is that if I surrender to the wave, the particle, whatever, to the universe, I'm much more powerful. I experience a great deal of power and freedom in that accepting of the reality of the situation of life, that I'm powerless, and I don't manage life, but I can have a great attitude about life. What I can affect is what is internal, what I can, how I feel about it, how I think about it. I can affect those things, and that fits within the quantum theory as well. So I'm glad you brought up the sort of the internal psychological component of the self. One final word I wanted to say was that the concept of the self was invented. It's just a word that we made up in this century or last century. Before, the concept was community. It was, people didn't think of themselves as selves. That's like a Western word that we made up, and that helped me too, because I was really big on the self. And as I began to study things, I began to realize that the self was just a word, you know, that we made up, and then in our confirmation bias we saw it everywhere and we think it's the most important thing in the world sometimes, but honestly it's just another concept. And reality is so much bigger than that, and I'm a part of that reality, and it's how I look at it, how I feel about it. I can shape my attitude about it, but I can't necessarily shape the reality. So I just offer that up. I will now shut.
No, I'm jumping in to say that reminds me of some things I've learned. And so it's very serendipitous that you said that. Thank you.
That's what happens in quantum physics. Serendipity.
Hi, may I speak?
Yes.
I love the word serendipity. So I had like a visceral reaction to that. I sometimes find that if I go back to very palpable, tangible things, it helps me bring to experiences I've had with energy. It helps bring me to a place of just being open to it. And in today's call, I've gone back so many times to Monty Roberts, the horse whisperer, and I took a clinic with him. And you bear witness to horses that are out of control that people bring to him. It was in Albany at the Armory. And they respond to him. He joins up with them. So it's a visual and it's a feeling. It's so powerful. And that shows me that all things are possible, because it's so tangible. So I just wanted to share that. I'm just, everything everyone's saying is resonating with me. And so, thank you.
Seeing it helps you believe it.
What's that, Joy?
Thank you.
I was just going to say, I agree that when we see it, when we can touch it, when we can view it, when we can feel it, it does make it easier to believe in it. Mm-hmm. Wish I could stay connected to that for longer and longer periods of time.
I think the more, don't you think the more we make that effort, the more it's possible?
Well, the more we become aware, I think the more we see. I don't know.
Right. And it keeps going around. The more we see, the more we become aware.
Hi, I'm going to finally say something.
Okay, Kathleen.
Yeah, so maybe y'all can help me with this, because there's a philosopher who I think he's fairly contemporary. I think he might even still be alive. And he talks a lot about something that's related to what we've been talking about. It's like everything is part of a bigger whole. Mm-hmm. So, you know, even in our bodies, which is the realm of possibility, you take a stem cell and there's the realm of possibility that it could be anything, you know, mm-hmm. part of your a brain or part of a bone or whatever. And so he starts off with, you know, actually, you know, like things like electrons and different things and atoms, and then they become part of a molecule, and the molecule becomes a cell in your body, and the cell in your body contributes to a larger whole by like filtering blood or mm-hmm. being part of your liver. And there's all these things that actually have a purpose, and then they create a system. And yet at one time they all had the possibility of being any of those things. Mm-hmm. And so I think about that a lot, because I think that it's what I think we started off talking about, is everything is part, is the possibility of becoming something else, but then it chooses what to be, or I don't know how that happens, but out of the realm of all these possibilities, this cell becomes in my fingernail, you know? But that all of our body is a whole system of all these possibilities that came together and then defined themselves into creating a greater whole. Then you just look at, I mean, then we're all part of being humans, you know, being this, and other things are all animals, and it all comes together. That just all these minute little systems that coalesce to create an entity that is in part of a greater whole. Like we look at the earth, and then yeah. there's also the stars, and there's the galaxies, and then there's the universe. And it's so mind boggling, you know, it's, mm-hmm. Wow. The other thing I think about a lot that I think is kind of related.
Kathleen, can I just, I'm going to stop you for 1 second because okay. we're coming up to the hour. And I know okay, that some people, well, it's okay. I'd like to get back to you, but I just wanted to, for those people who have to leave at certainly. In a minute, I just wanted to ask you whether you want to continue the discussion on quantum physics or do something else next week. So can I just have a show of hands of who wants to continue with quantum physics? A few. Okay. So that's, we'll put that as an option, and also send out an email or post in the forum and make sure we get enough people to continue it, because there's a whole realm of we haven't talked about so many things, morphic fields and resonance and a lot of things that you're bringing up, Kathleen, which right now we don't have time for, but I want to cover them. So if you're all interested in going another session talking about quantum physics and how it applies to us, we can do that. The other thing that I wanted to just mention to people, and whoever can stay on the call now, great. And if not, then is if there are things that you want to talk about as part of our umbrella of love in action, what are they? What are they going to be? So post those in the forum. And so I want to do one on love in nature. We do one on love in food, love in music. So there's the topics are endless, but I really want to know what you all would like to see so we can be co-creating this together. So whatever you want to do, put it in the forum or let me know so that we can go in that direction and include that as well. And then the final thing is just between now and next week, just look for opportunities where it might look fixed to you in terms of what needs to be done, but what else might be possible instead of collapsing that one way of thinking about things? What if there were a different way or was a different way? Great. So it's 1:02. Kathleen, can we hold your question till next week? Oops, you're on, you're muted.
Yeah, that's fine. I didn't realize the time, and I'll watch that next time.
It goes so fast.
Yeah, it does go fast. I have to go, actually. I have something I need to do. So it was nice to meet all of you all and to participate. I look forward to next week.
Yes, and we look forward to talking about your question. See if you can remember it.
Okay. Right. Bye-bye.
Thank you, everyone. Have a great week. See you next week. And post in the forum if you can. Bye-bye.